Scrap dot podcast. Where we world kind of stuff. So we have another podcast where we try to keep things like talking about games and alien abduction and farming and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there tends to be a little bit of crossover here and there. Anyway. So, yeah. Let me start this podcast by reading out the disclaimer. This is not our full disclaimer, for there is not enough room to write such a disclaimer. This podcast may be very controversial. Actually, it is. This podcast is for our personal opinions, our views, and our beliefs. This podcast is for educational and or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of all of this is all hearsay, is all hearsay evidence, and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious and or non-religious 501c3s, or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right when it is right because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty. And those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, and your people and your homeland. God gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for those as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just for our research and or is just our research and or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, codes and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and or other animals, we are not man animals. As described in the FDA state and federal regulations under the U.S. Code Title 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 1, Subsection 5, Parts B and D, and U.S. Code Title 21, Chapter 9, Subchapter 2, Subsection 321, Part F, and so forth. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us. Okay. So, Spygate. What is it? Some friends brought it up to me today. Let's see now. I haven't a clue. I don't watch the news. apparently it involves Donald Trump. One of my friends is real proud of Donald Trump for how he's handling it. Another was laughing at Hillary for how she's crying over it. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see now. Well, my internet search shows it has something to do with the NFL. There must be something terribly wrong. I can't imagine what the NFL would have to do with Trump. I'm going to have to look into this before I talk about it. Sorry, folks. I am clueless. I do not know what's going on in the weird, weird world of primetime media. All right, so here's an article I pulled off of a newsletter I received. Google still says, don't be evil. Google has removed don't be evil from the start of its code of conduct. But contrary to some reports, those exact words still feature. They're just now at the very end of the document. Since 2000, the phrase has been not just an unofficial slogan, but also, okay, and then it goes on. I don't have the rest of it here. I'll have to pull up that article. But it's kind of interesting that a company that has done so many nefarious things, gotten in trouble overseas because I guess apparently in Germany they were stealing people's data off their computers via Wi-Fi as they drove by and took pictures of the houses. You know, the Google Maps thing where you can have street view. Well, apparently some of those trucks were armed with the ability to steal data off of personal computers via their modems. If your password wasn't secure enough, Google was getting in and stealing stuff. And then I guess they've taken over YouTube, and they've changed policies severely to where even if you're drawing in lots of viewers, if they don't like your opinions, they don't pay you. They'll pay anybody who expounds their opinions, but they won't pay somebody who brings them money that doesn't expound their opinions. So I guess in that case it's their house. They have a right to do as they please in it, but it's kind of, it's sort of like inviting a bunch of people over to your house and purposely putting out all meat dishes, even though you know some of your guests are going to be vegetarians. It's just rude and obnoxious and verges on evil. Maybe purposely serving cat and dog to people who are kosher. Yeah. Okay, I got the full article here. Google has removed don't be evil from the start of the code of conduct. But contrary to some reports, those exact words still feature. They're just now at the very end of the document. Since 2000, the phrase has been not just an unofficial slogan, but also among the very first words to appear in the company's public code of conduct document. While there are certainly plenty of people who'd take issue with the company's adherence to that motto, it's not out there as a stick to beat Google with. In fact, at times the phrase appeared three times in the first couple of paragraphs, including a fundamental explanation that the Google Code of Conduct is one of the ways we put don't be evil in practice. In the latest version of the code, now strictly speaking, that of parent company Alphabet, has been placed with the Google Code of Conduct as one of the ways we put Google's values into practice. Wow, did I really read that right? All right. Well, it's okay. Anyway, however, the phrase hasn't been removed completely. The very end of the document continues to read, and remember, don't be evil. And if you see something you think isn't right, speak up. excuse me. Another change spotted by Search Engine Journal includes a reference to trust and mutual respect as the foundation of the company's success being replaced with respect for our users, for the opportunity, and for each other. However, trust is still explicitly addressed in the code, including a note that our reputation as a company that our users can trust is the first valuable asset, and it is up to all of us to make sure that we continue to earn that trust. All of our communications and other interactions with our users should increase their trust in us. Data theft does not instill my trust. Anyway, I'll continue reading. While there's plenty of opportunity to overanalyze the precise tweaks in the document wording, it remains fundamentally the same message. And what should really be considered the most controversial paragraph remains untouched. Google's affection for our canine friends is an integral facet of our corporate culture. We like cats, but we're a dog company. So, as a general rule, we feel cats visiting our office would be fairly stressed out. Okay, so they have dogs walking around, I guess. Yeah. Well. Don't be evil. Yeah, how do you define don't be evil? I guess it's not evil to steal data. I guess it's not evil to tell people, hey, if you get lots of traffic flow to your videos, we'll pay you money. And then, oh, but you're being evil, so we're not going to pay you. And we're going to direct people away from you. We're going to hide your links so that you can't be found. And if possible, we'll delete your account, which I've seen happen, you know, because somebody had videos that disagreed with Google beliefs, I guess. I suppose if somebody was to make a video on how evil Google was and point out how they're hypocrites in their policy statement, that video would probably get deleted from YouTube. I don't know. Well, yeah, where, oh, where can my co-host be? Oh, where can he be? Meanwhile, every time I sign into my email account from a different device, Google is like, hey, did you do this? Fortunately, they think I live somewhere near Chicago, which is not true, but you're all set. Yeah, I hope I'm done. I'm checking to see if Kano has texted me back. He might be sleeping, and I don't blame him. His work has been running him ragged. If you listened last night, he mentioned it. He's been basically running 48 hours doing this, that, and the other. Plus, now he's got more responsibilities. He's a safety guy for his company. Yeah. That's enough. Nope. He has not responded. And if I call him, you guys won't hear me. So, let's go on the happy tour of trying to discover what in the world Spygate is. Okay. From Spygate to Deflategate, inside what split the NFL and whatever. Huh. Okay. I don't think that has anything to do with Trump. I'm not sure what my friends were talking about. Let's see now. Well, this is some sort of video, so I'm not sure if this will play well. We will find out. Giuliani admits Spygate is PR in anticipation of impeachment. Okay. Well, I was wrong. It's not a video. It's an article. Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani confirmed on Sunday that the president and his allies' attempts to discredit the Mueller investigation, including the most recent so-called Spygate controversy, are part of a public relations campaign aimed at starving off impeachment, staving off impeachment. It is for public opinion, the former New York mayor admitted during an appearance on CNN's State of the Union. And while trying to shape public opinion is the rarely acknowledged goal of any presidential administration, what Giuliani said next was unique to Trump. To Trump's, because eventually the decision here is going to be impeached or not impeached. Okay. And what does it matter? We've already demonstrated impeaching a president has no effect. Especially when you impeach a president for nonsense. Anyway. And I don't know if this is nonsense. It's just a previous president was impeached, and instead of impeaching him for nonsense. Like, okay. Anyway, Giuliani's comment came amid pressure from host Diane Bash to acknowledge that he and Trump were using a very specific, very political strategy to undermine the Mueller investigation, highlighting how a recent poll revealed a 15% drop in the number of Republicans who wanted Trump to testify in the probe. Bash and Giuliani had already talked about the unfounded Spygate allegation by Trump and his allies that the FBI had installed a spy in the Trump campaign to set up a collusion charge. The FBI had actually warned Trump that Russia was trying to infiltrate his campaign. Asked to confirm that these efforts to discredit the Mueller probe were just a political tactic, Giuliani first demurred, insisting that he and Trump had just been calling attention to the suspicions, not creating them. Then Bash specifically cited the Spygate claims and how no evidence had been offered to support them, and noted that he was both an experienced politician and a lawyer who clearly understood that the Trump team could feel free to attack the Russia investigation, since Mueller and his team would not be able to publicly defend themselves. Appearing somewhat flummoxed, Giuliani tried to explain that he was only able to go on the attack because they're giving us the material, meaning the missteps or alleged misconduct of federal law enforcement officials, though actually referring to Trump's allies in Congress and in conservative media, when then surprisingly he veered toward transparency. Of course, we have to be aggressive in these attacks to defend the president. We're defending, to a large extent, remember, Diane, we're defending here. It is for public opinion, because eventually the decision is going to be impeach or not impeach. Members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, are going to be informed a lot by their constituents. And so our jury is, as it should be, is the American people. And the American people, yes, are Republicans largely, independents, pretty substantially, and even some Democrats, now questioning the legitimacy of the Mueller investigation. Democrats, I suggest, from their own self-interest, this is not a good issue to go into a congressional election with, he added, again confirming that the attacks on the Mueller investigation were not a legal strategy but a political one. He went on to recite more talking points about the disreputable and partisan Mueller's team. on how disreputable and partisan the Mueller's team was. Giuliani also tried to talk to both Giuliani also tried to not attack Mueller personally while still insisting that the special counsel, who is a Republican, was an agent of the opposition party. Early in the interview, he said that he and the other members of Trump's legal team, who don't appear on television every day, have concluded that the investigation is rigged. The whole interview was ranging befuddled affair, as most of Giuliani's media appearances now tend to be, regardless of how much oversharing he does. Before acknowledging the PR angle, Giuliani clearly tried to reference Spygate as much as possible, using the word six times and acting as though he was astonished by the allegations. He also tried to repeat Trump's lie that the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, has admitted the FBI placed a spy in Trump's campaign, which Bash corrected him on. Other times, the former U.S. attorney acknowledged he didn't really know who was guilty and who was not. At one point, Giuliani said he can't be confident there was no collusion between the members of the Trump's campaign and Russia, but claimed that the allegations came as a surprise to him and the president and others at the top of the campaign. You go to the outer orbit of the campaign, how do I know what is going on? But I don't think that would matter. You can't if there is collusion with a guy 50 rungs down on the campaign. Not that I'm saying it happened, but if it did, I don't know. I don't know what that means. Okay. Not sure who's saying what there. It looks like they're quoting Giuliani, but anyway. He also suggested the Justice Department indictment of 13 Russian nationals for meddling in the 2016 presidential election was phony and was only meant to impress the media. Asked by Bash if he considered the Mueller investigation as to be legitimate, Giuliani made it sound as though he, too, had been convinced by all the attacks on the probe. Not anymore, he claimed. Here's a video from YouTube. It's about 20 minutes long. I do not know if you'll hear it or not, but I'll try. Yeah, got it on full volume. It might not load up.
Let's start right there. The FBI confidential source is directly connected to this ongoing investigation into the president's campaign. Doesn't it create an appearance that the White House is interfering with this investigation?
I don't see that, Dana. I think that the White House has every right to know. The president has every right to know as commander-in-chief. After all, the investigation, as the Democrats said, revealed nothing new, so there's nothing to us, that means exculpatory, because the new would be if something turned up that was a surprise. So it should be very easy to brief us Now, we can come out of it saying same thing, nothing new, or we might come out and be able to say nothing, in which case you'll have a real signal.
You say that the president has a right to know as commander-in-chief. This is a very complex situation. He's not just commander-in-chief. He is, he was the head of and is a candidate for a campaign of which this investigation is taking place.
That's another reason he should know.
Legit for him to know about an investigation of him and his campaign? Explain that.
Because it's over, and it revealed nothing new. So then he has a right to know about it, both as a candidate, as a candidate back then, now as the president. He has a right to know about it in order to figure out what does it mean to this investigation. All that it means is an investigation that we thought was rigged from the very beginning. It never should have started.
But if you're saying
there was no evidence of collusion.
If you're saying it's over, back to the confidential source, then are you saying here this morning that you feel comfortable that there was no spy, as you and the president call this person?
Well, I don't, because I see contradictions. I see Clapper saying that there was a spy, but he was spying on the Russian end. But spying on the Russian end, if they thought there was collusion, meant spying on the president's campaign.
Well, this,
I'd like to know who he is.
To be clear,
and what he found out.
James Clapper said that he didn't know anything about it, and he was using the word spy, because it's what the president said, and he actually, as part of that, said that he doesn't like that term. But I guess here's my big picture question. You are somebody who made your name as U.S. attorney in New York. You had a reputation for prosecuting crime as mayor, upholding the rule of law. If somebody connected to one of your investigations asked you for information about a confidential source, you wouldn't stand for it.
Of course, I wouldn't give him the name. If I thought that information would help induce a guilty plea or cooperation, I would lay out for the lawyers or let them see the evidence. Very, very often prosecutors lay out the evidence pre-indictment in order to end the case. They say, look at this, listen to the tape recording, listen to the information. Hey, every once in a while they'll give up a confidential source if the person's being protected. So the name here has already been put out there. You and I don't know if it's true. But if it is true and it's dangerous to this man, he's been protected already. I don't believe he's being protected. It says to me that maybe the FBI and the Justice Department being a little hypocritical here.
Why is that?
Well, they said he can't be revealed because it's dangerous. Now he's been revealed, Wall Street Journal, several other newspapers. If that man is the man, he better be protected. I'm not sure, but I hear he's not. So what's going on?
Mr. Mayor, I want to just ask point blank. Will the president sit down with Robert Mueller, even if the White House legal team or you, anybody on his legal team, doesn't get a briefing about this confidential source?
Well, if he wasn't thinking about it and it wasn't an active possibility, we'd be finished with that by now and we'd have moved on to getting the investigation over with another way. But he is adamant in wanting to do it.
He, the president.
We are the president. But we're more convinced as we see it that this is a rigged investigation. Now we have this whole new Spygate thing thrown on top of it, on top of already very legitimate questions.
How is there evidence that it's rigged? I just want to go through, because I know you use this term a lot, and obviously so does the president. This investigation has already brought charges against 22 people and entities, including 13 Russians who have been indicted for trying to change the outcome of the election. So how is it a rigged investigation when they're not even close to being done and they already have this in their pocket?
Well, because, first of all, there are two different investigations, right? The counterintelligence investigation is now over a year, and they weren't disclosing it to anybody. Immediately, that raises questions in my mind. Why not? I think why not? Because it clears the president. Then you get the Comey thing, which is a leak of a confidential memo, which is illegal for an FBI official to do, and that becomes the basis for appointing Mueller. I'm not saying Mueller is illegitimate. I'm saying the basis on which he was appointed is illegitimate. Now let's look at the indictment.
Do you think the Mueller probe is legitimate?
Not anymore. I don't. I did when I came in, but now I see I see Spygate. I see.
But when you call Spygate, you admit happened
saying,
before Robert Mueller was brought on.
But it has to inform the decision to appoint Mueller. Either it's evidence or not. And if it's not, it goes along with what they found already, which is no collusion with the Russians.
It might have informed it, I just want to point one other thing out, because I know that you and the president have talked about that as well, that even the Republicans in the House, when they did their report, they said that the main reason that this probe was launched was because of George Papadopoulos, who was on the president's foreign policy council, an encounter he had with somebody in Australia, not because of this confidential informant. This is from the Republicans in the House.
I think actually the explanation for Mueller is mainly Comey. Comey said he wanted an independent counsel. Comey said he was going to orchestrate one. Comey wrote a memo and leaked it illegally through a professor. Hence, we have Mueller. Illegal. No basis. Now, whatever the Spygate thing is, we're just learning about that now. I wouldn't come to any definitive conclusions on that. And Papadopoulos was part of that whole Spygate thing as well. So it kind of gets all intertwined. But the two indictments that you point out are really pretty questionable. Manafort, before Judge Ellis, maybe no authority for that indictment. That would be extraordinary. That would ruin the whole investigation. Second, the Russians. Yeah, it's a pretty phony indictment. They're not showing up for anything. You think they're coming here to be tried? That's like a paper indictment on which the press can fawn all over it, and it'll go nowhere.
How are you so sure that there was no collusion with anybody in the campaign? We don't know exactly what Robert Mueller and his team has right now. Do you know something we don't?
Well, yeah, I know 50 years of investigatory experience. Tells me they don't have darn thing, because they would have used it already, and they wouldn't be off on collusion. They wouldn't be off on Manafort. They wouldn't be off on Cohen. You got a good case, man, you go right to it. Against the President of the United States, you've got something and you don't start charging it? Come on.
Well, maybe not necessarily against the president himself, but people in his orbit. You're confident that there was no collusion.
I can't be confident about my client. I mean, am I confident because I was in that campaign at a very intimate level? Nobody talked about Russians. Nobody knew about Russians. This came as a surprise to me, to the president, and to the top four or five people around him. Now, you go out to the outer orbit, how do I know what's going on? But I don't think that would matter. You can't, there's this collusion with a guy 50 rungs down on the campaign. Not that I'm saying it happened, but if it did, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Mr. Mayor, I want you to take a look at... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, good. No, I got
okay.
the point.
I want you to take a look at this CNN survey. When asked whether President Trump should testify in the Mueller investigation, only 39% of Republicans say yes. That's down 15 points in less than 6 weeks. Now, this is not an accident. Is it fair to say that you and the president have a very specific, very political strategy to undermine this investigation, and appears to be working?
No, it's not a strategy to undermine it. They're doing it. How did I know about Spygate? How did I know about...
But they're not talking,
about,
sir.
Yeah, but it's falling apart. I mean, so we have to... We have a briefing. We've got a briefing. We've got Congress involved. We didn't do that. They're doing it. I didn't know that the Cohen thing... Cohen's now 2 months old, 3 months old. I came into it after Cohen. I didn't know the Cohen thing would result in nothing involving the president, or so far has. And let me just finish that point. I didn't know that Judge Ellis was going to question the legitimacy of the indictment by the Mueller team.
The president,
the
president's allies
are
on Capitol
Hill. Largely very, very committed Democrats.
Okay, the president's allies on Capitol Hill, and then was picked up by the president in his tweets and by you as well, have been seizing on this confidential source. You call it Spygate, and without giving evidence that you really think it's there. That has no question helped erode public confidence in the investigation, which, you're a lawyer, but you're also an experienced Paul. You know what you're doing. Is that fair to say?
I hope I know what I'm doing. I have a birthday tomorrow, so I think I know.
No, but I mean, that this is an intentional strategy to undermine the investigation, knowing that investigators, the special counsel, for policy not to talk, but you are very free to and are very aggressive about doing so.
Well, I mean, they're giving us the material. I couldn't do it if they didn't have the material. They're giving us the material to do it. Of course we have to do it in defending the president. We're defending, to a large extent, remember, Dana, we're defending here. It is for public opinion because eventually the decision here is going to be impeach, not impeach. Members of Congress, Democrat and Republican, are going to be informed a lot by their constituents. So our jury, is the American people. And the American people, yes, are Republicans, largely, okay. Independents, pretty substantially, and even some Democrats now question the legitimacy of it. The Democrats, I suggest, from their own self-interest, this is not a good issue to go into the congressional
election. That is something that you and the Democratic leader, Nancy Pelosi, actually agree on. We're going to leave that for a second. We're going to have to take a quick break. We have a lot more to discuss, including a potential interview with the special counsel, Robert Mueller. Will the president do that interview? Stay right with us, Mr. Mayor. We're going to ask you that after the break. And we're back with President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Let's talk about a potential interview with the special counsel. You told my colleague Chris Cuomo that Robert Mueller has agreed to limit that interview from 5 topics to 2 topics. What are those 2 topics? What's in, what's out?
Well, the 2 topics that we more or less agree on, and I should say it's all contingent on every point being, you know, worked out. It's kind of like the North Korean negotiations, not as important. And if all the everything could be worked out, then they would probably limit it to collusion and obstruction. The collusion part, we're pretty comfortable with because there has been none. The obstruction part, I'm not as comfortable with. I'm not. The president's fine with it. He's innocent. I'm not comfortable because it's a matter of interpretation, not just hard and fast, true, not true. So if you interpret his comment about firing Mueller, Comey, no discussion of firing Mueller, by the way. If you interpret that as obstructing the investigation as opposed to removing a guy who was doing a bad job on the recommendation in part of Rosenstein, but you see it as obstructing the investigation, then you can say it's obstruction. And then you can say it's perjury, which is even easier for them, which is where I think if they're sneaky, they're going. I don't believe Bob is. But remember, those guys were President Hillary Clinton's dinner. They were present in some of the prior investigations.
Mr. Mayor, you know, Robert Mueller is a Republican. That's a little bit of a red herring. About people who work there who are Democrats.
Who worked for Obama and who hired Democrats and very, very partisan Democrats. I never would have done that. All my assistant U.S. attorneys were basically.
But Robert Mueller is the special counsel, and he's in charge of this. Are you saying that?
Yes, which is why we say it had. Which is why we have pause, because if I were looking at 13 down the middle people, men and women, I'd say fine.
Okay, let's get back to the interview.
Party.
Let's get back to the interview because that's the key question here. You mentioned the second topic. Questions about obstruction. Are you, as the president's lawyer, willing to allow him to sit down and answer questions about that? About firing James Comey?
Well, sure, I'd be willing. Absolutely. All of that depends on how comfortable we are with their having an open mind and not having interpreted it wrongly already. If we have an open mind, we would recommend it to the president. Since the president is inclined to do it, I would assume he would. And we're a little bit away from that. I thought we were closer last week when we talked because of the summit. Summit's going to, I think, happen now and on our terms. I can't believe that Kim Jong-un is talking about denuclearization.
So you mentioned North Korea. You said earlier this week that President Trump was more likely to sit down with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un than special counsel Robert Mueller. So does the president see Robert Mueller as a bigger threat than Kim Jong-un?
No. In the case of Kim Jong-un, he's got all of his advisors recommending it, except, hey, they pulled out originally, right? No. when he was talking about meeting us on the, how about that, meeting us on the nuclear battlefield, and people expect me to intrude with this silliness. I can't do that. Now, the guy has made a remarkable turnaround. He not only wants to meet, he tells President Moon that he's considering denuclearization of the entire peninsula. Wow. I mean, that's Nobel Prize stuff.
Well, the president certainly hopes so. But, you know, you're talking about North Korea. I just have to ask because you brought it up. The president last night said in the Oval Office that the talks are going very, very well. You're talking to us about it. Are you talking to the president about North Korea as well?
Well, he talks to me about it necessarily, and Ajay, because, you know, it depends on our timing is driven greatly by it. For example, if they put this thing on and probably have to do it in the next 2 days, we literally can't get much done until after the 12th, until he comes back from Singapore. Nor would anybody want us to. So if not, we've got a good span of time there, which we were counting on for making our decision on interviews. And then moving forward, the rest of our strategy.
So you're not advising the president on foreign policy. That's not part of your purview.
Oh, no. I'm not. I used to in my old role as his policy advisor, but I'm not now.
Okay. Let me ask you.
I hear it to the extent that it affects our timing.
Got it. Sources told CNN on Friday that President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, mentioned him earlier, that he got yet another consulting contract with the business partner of a Russian oligarch after meeting with him in Trump Tower during the transition. You know, we've seen several stories like this. Was the president okay with Michael Cohen essentially selling access to him?
Well, first of all, most importantly, the president's not involved. The president had no knowledge of any of these. Remember, the first one that came out was the one involving some other Russian company that turns out not to be. The president didn't know about it. Then we asked him about the other two, Novartis and AT&T. Didn't know about it. And an AT&T, Justice Department.
Is he upset with Michael Cohen for even attempting to sell access, whether or not?
About that, he's not going to be happy about. Doesn't mean that the man should be. I like Michael Cohen. Lots of people are selling advice. Some are selling influence. I don't like it, particularly the influence part.
Okay.
I think the advice part is perfect. That's Henry Kissinger, you know, the highest level of advice.
One last question. The president unleashed attacks this week on career civil servants, former CIA director John Brennan, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper. You've worked closely with intelligence officers throughout your decades in public life. Do you really believe that people like Brennan and Clapper are part of a deep state conspiracy?
I don't know what you want to call it, but I have no regard at all for Clapper and Brennan. I think they're two clowns. I mean, the other guy, Clapper is talking about spying, and he doesn't realize it's spying on the Trump campaign. He's got an obligation to tell him. Brennan has been, I mean, Brennan was chief torturer in charge. Then he disowned it. Then I don't know what he did with the CIA, but he's the most political CIA director I have ever met. And Clapper, they're not civil servants as far as I know.
Really? All those decades of
political
service?
Appointed.
In the military? And
political appointment. Yeah. Hey, there are a lot of people with decades of service. Some are good, some bad. And some then get consumed with power, and some begin to lie. And in the case of Brennan, he's a political guy. He was Obama's chief defender. Not sure about Clapper. I don't know. I haven't watched him as well. But watching him, he's sure not impressive.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for joining me this morning. I appreciate your time.
You. You're very fair.
And you. Thank you.
Okay, I hope you heard all that. I don't know. We'll find out when I listen to the rebroadcast. I'm not sure that the article I read matched up with the recorded interview. So, I don't know. The article apparently came from the Daily Intelligencer. And whatever. did seem to mention everything that my friends mentioned. I'm not sure that all that was related to Spygate, but okay. Yeah. Kano, are you in the background? Nope. Nope, I guess he's not. I wonder if I'm in the foreground. Because my phone is blank. Yep, looks like I'm still on here. Anyway, it sounds like the typical he said, she said, these guys are bad, those guys are bad. I don't know. There's a reason why I don't pay attention to the political scene. It's all the same stuff over and over again. It's a soap opera. It's a distraction. It keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing in the first place. You know, I don't know how any of this helps me to love my neighbor. I suppose that, you know, keeping a thumb on the pulse of what's going on, that's generally good. But I get better pulse on what's going on by paying attention to how my friends and neighbors react in the way of, you know, do they still have a cell phone or not, or have they gotten rid of it? Are they storing food, or are they just spending their money willy-nilly? You know, that's... that's the way I keep my pulse on what's going on. So, yeah, admittedly, I'm kind of clueless as to what this is all about. It looks to me like it's still the Russian presidential interference crap. It's like, well, you know, did Russia interfere with the presidential election? Well, duh, unless somebody stopped them from doing it. So did, I'm sure, Iran and Israel and England and Zimbabwe and China, they all put their fingers in it, I'm sure. And if they had the ability to put in a spy or make a digital change to the election, I'm sure they made their attempts. And, you know, it's just a matter of who is most successful at what. who bribed the right guy? Are they going to investigate that? Hell no. Excuse my language. So, did your vote really have anything to do with squat? No. Well, yes, it does. It gives you the illusion of control over your masters. And, you know, if Trump is actually making any sort of changes in the world that are not preordained by those who would rule the world, I would be surprised. If anything, I suspect he's probably colluding with them just like Obama was. And yeah, it looks like he's doing some opposite things to what Obama did. That's fine. It's all theater. It gives you something to watch. It's the national soap opera. You know. Well, since I'm not hearing from Kano, I'm going to call it quits. Hopefully Kano will have this up. I'm going to make a point of listening to this for technical reasons because I want to know whether or not you even heard that YouTube. Otherwise, there's 20 minutes of blank, which would not be good. But, yeah. We're working on it. We don't have the high-tech equipment that we should have, but maybe someday we'll invest in it, and we'll proceed from there. That said, if you want to look for us, you've probably already found us because you probably wouldn't listen to this podcast unless you already knew where it was at. You can find us at scrapgovscrap.com. And our other podcast you can find at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. I set up a Discord channel, which you can find at DiscordApp.com. And it's DiscordApp.com. And the channel that you'd be looking for would be David, David, and David. That's there's three Davids, and they're separated by a comma and an ampersand. So it's, you know, there's no word and, it's an ampersand in there. So no spaces, just those punctuations. So, if you want to comment, you can comment on our website. You can comment on Discord if you like. Granted, on Discord, you'll see some of the stuff that is posted for the Demented Dungeons and Dragons as well. And, you know, hey, we'll sort it out. We'll figure out what goes where. So, anyway, I hope to hear from somebody next week. Dearly love to have an interview with somebody. We did have one gentleman call in, and he actually livened up the show quite a bit. Wouldn't mind having him call in again. Joseph, if you're listening, call in. Talk to you later. Anyway, good night and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And have a good work week.